we get to the stage where you want to have, like, you know, 20 different kind of people from different kind of like crop species contributing to a kind of like a core ontology, with them contributing their kind of portions to it. That can be a very good way of managing things, but I don't think we need to worry about that just now. It's just something to bear in mind for the future.
Because it's, maybe you could explain it to me a little bit about what it means when you fork.
It's not so different from branching, really. But in GitHub, it means that you actually make a copy in your own user space. So in GitHub, you have user spaces and organization spaces.
Right, right.
And you can fork into either of those. So I could, if I didn't have access to Pantheon, as long as it's, you don't make it a private repository, I can just go and fork it, and I can make my own local changes. You know, you obviously still have the master one, and it just makes it very easy for me to kind of push my changes back to you. I make what's called a kind of pull request.
Right.
So I could go and make my own changes, and maybe I'm not even a proper member of the project, and I make a pull request, and then you can do all this purely via the web interface to GitHub, and you can review my pull request, and you can look at the diffs, and you can say, okay, well, I'm going to take this, this, and this, but I'm going to reject this. Or you can even have a kind of process where other people vote on it. You know, they make comments on the pull request and say, I agree with this, we should merge it, or I disagree, we should reject it. So it's a very...
But what if two people are working on it at the same time? Couldn't that happen? And then...
Yeah, I mean, it works best if you're working in... If your files are in a format that are easily diffable. So Oboe format is designed for this. We're trying to get OWL to be a bit more like this, but that's one disadvantage of OWL.
Right.
It's harder to diff.
So, you know, the way we've done it on the SVN is you kind of check it out. Mm-hmm. So is that like forking when you do a checkout?
No. You can ignore forking altogether if you want. The core subset is just is almost just the same. You still check out. The difference is, the only difference that is forced upon you is that there's a kind of two-stage thing now that you commit, but commits happen locally, but it still records the change, the commit message. And then there's a separate thing called a push, where then your local copy of all the changes is synchronized with the server.
I see. Okay. Yeah, well, it's going to take a little exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Dennis is on the call with us. Hi, Dennis.
Hi there.
Hi, we were just discussing the ins and outs of GitHub while we were kind of waiting for people to join in.
Okay.
Yeah, how are you this morning? Is it still morning there?
Well, no, not really, but it's like it's like 12 degrees or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really bad back here. It's like Edmonton.
Oh, man. Yes, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. I'm going there this summer, actually.
To the BSA meeting.
Yeah, and the first joint one with Canadians was in Edmonton in 1971.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
So it's been a long time since I've been there.
Yeah, we were up there, or the year before, maybe, for my husband's niece's wedding, and it's been a while since I've been there, that's for sure. We're talking about the Botanical Society of America meeting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's up in Edmonton. That's where I did my PhD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting going up there and going around seeing all the old places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
The big shopping mall.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
The big shopping mall.
Oh, you know, I can't even be bothered to go there. I'm not a fan.
There's not a shopping mall?
Yeah, they have like the world's biggest indoor shopping mall there.
Yeah, I guess it would have to be inside.
Yeah. And there's a hockey rink and there's a water park and it's crazy. I'm just not a shopping mall person, so there's lots of other things to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I see Pankaj just came in and waved to me. I think he's going to go and join from his office. Hang on one second and let me just go ask him if he wants to sit together or not. I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to join and when. Hang on one sec.
Pankaj, do you want to sit together?
So it's always the same.
Yeah. Hang on. I'll put you on audio.
You just sent this link.
Yeah, I know I did. That's no, they joined. But I'm saying to invite you, it's your email that it's on. So it'd be a little bit.
It's all right.
I could use your other email, I guess.
That's all right.
Do you want to say hi?
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Oh,
Chris
I
is coming in.
Hi, this is Chris.
I have it on my headphones. That's why. See, it's on the wrong.
Headphones not connected.
Well, I know. I just disconnected it, but see. I don't know why it's not working.
All right. You guys can continue.
Okay. Well, we'll just continue. Okay. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Now we can hear you.
All right. So it allows you to record.
Yes.
So, but it won't save it online. It will ask you to download it, and then download and save it on our...
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. So Pankaj has some other stuff going on this morning, so I don't think he's going to join in.
Okay.
Sorry about that little side conversation going on there. I was sort of hoping that Barry and Elizabeth would join this morning, but doesn't look like they're going to, or maybe they'll just join when they get here. For Elizabeth, it wasn't clear whether she was going to be around or not because it's actually like a winter holiday in France again. I don't know why. They get a lot of holidays. It's maybe term break or something there. So any other questions or anything this morning before we... I was going to show you guys some work that I've been doing on the TO and kind of the status of the TO so far.
Yeah. Let's take a look at that.
Yeah. So, Dennis, did you have any other things you want to bring up or?
No.
No. Okay, good. Well, let's proceed then. So, as you all are aware, we have, I was just going to show you the wiki. Let me close this. I'm going to share my screen here. I'm going to share my browser. Let's see how this screen sharing works on this. So, you should all be able to see the GitHub page. Is everybody able to see it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Everybody meaning you too.
Yes.
So this is what's called GitHub. Dennis, are you familiar with that at all?
No.
So it's a version control system similar to what we have used in the past here at OSU with our Subversion repository. And we've created a home for the Plantium project on GitHub, and we're going to have the ontology files hosted there rather than locally here on our SVN. So this won't affect you too much in terms of you know, the things you're doing, but it will be important once your person comes on to get them up and running and get them involved with this. So this is what Chris and I were talking about this morning, and we can definitely share more information about this as we move ahead. So, and the other thing I just wanted to mention was on our wiki, the section for the ontology group is here. I'm sure you all can see that. And here we'll have the notes from the meetings, and we also have links to the current versions of the ontologies. I just started working on this, so I have to add the rest of them. But I started with the TO. I wanted to show you here, we have a development browser for the TO. We also have, the TO is also on our CROP Plantium browser. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but we actually have two versions of the Plantium browser. We have the live version. I'll pull that up here. Oops. This is just, I can't change my homepage here. So this is the live version. And if you go under ontologies, you can see here's all the different ontologies. And you can browse the TO that way as well. And in this version, we have the annotations included in the live version. But this version is out of date. So this browser hasn't been updated since last year, last spring. So any of the new work, if you want to look at any of the current work that's been done on the TO, it's best to go to either the dev version of the CROP browser or to our little Amigo dev site. And this updates, this Amigo dev site that we have for the Planetology updates nightly. So any changes that have been made in the last 24 hours are reflected here.
Okay. And you're likely going to have a new version of Amigo up and running soon that will be kind of faster and easier.
Yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm. So maybe before we get off the call today, we can have an update about that. This one is 1.8.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you all know, and I'm going to say all because I assume that other people might be listening to this call later and not just the three of us, since we are recording this, by the way, so that Pankaj can listen to it later and as we mentioned before. So we never really had any funding to work on the TO. So, you know, in our first grant that we had, the mandate was really focused on the Planetology, and that was our main focus. But of course, you know, there's been a lot of interest in the TO, and there has been some work done on the TO, mainly by me. I don't think anyone else really has worked on it. We have a lot of collaborators who are very interested in it, and it's used in a lot of places. So it's something that I tried to get some work done on and do some improvements. And so maybe the thing to do right now is just to kind of take a look at what the basic structure is.
So, I mean, I've been doing some work on the logical definitions.
Oh, have you? So, yeah.
Just over the last like year or so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, Chris, are those on our SVN?
They
I
are.
I mean, they're not in the ontology, right? They're separate.
They're not in the ontology yet. No, it's harder to have them in the ontology if you're working in OBO, but there is a way, which I can show you. But for now, yeah, I'll just move them into Git as a separate file for now.
Let me just look at our SVN real quick here. So, just so that everybody knows that I can show Dennis this. So when we talk about the SVN, Dennis, this is what it looks like. So basically it's a file repository, and whenever I make changes on the ontology, they get posted here. And then, so you can see the last change hasn't been done since the end of October. We haven't worked done on it, but it has a list of all the changes that have been done, and you can look back through the versions. So, yeah, so maybe Chris, the thing to do would be good to get your information here so that when we set up the new repository, it'll all be together, or you can wait and put it up on GitHub when we get it there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. So we have some cross products here. It says with your name on it. There's one that's canceled.
Yeah, that's the latest one there. But I don't know if
this is the latest one here.
Yeah,
Good.
The idea is you wouldn't be browsing the raw OBO file forever. You would be actually editing these in OBO Edit or Protégé.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
You wouldn't be necessarily browsing the OBO files forever. You know, you would be editing these directly in OBO Edit or in Protégé.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so do you want to explain a little bit about what these are?
I guess, do you want to just open the latest version?
Sure. Let me just view this. Like, just view it, you mean, or open it?
Yeah, that should work.
Yeah.
So, basically, this is kind of like a mapping, but it's not like a mapping from one equivalent thing to another, like between TO and one of the crop ontologies. It's a kind of like breakdown of what the actual term means. So if we look at the second one down there, carbon sensitivity, it's breaking down that term into into a core quality, which is Peyto sensitivity. And it's also breaking it down to the actual kind of element, which is carbon, which we take from the KEBI ontology. So by doing this, we kind of give the, we allow the kind of the machine to actually kind of understand in a sense what the term means, at least with respect to kind of like other kind of simpler components.
Right.
And then we can use the reasoner to automatically classify the ontology so that carbon sensitivity will be automatically classified under, maybe the one underneath would be, let's find a more interesting one for automatic classification. But
sensitivities.
So let's just say like, or one of these kind of micronutrients, for example. So, you know, it might automatically be able to classify the trait term as micronutrient sensitivity, if that makes sense.
Right, like cobalt. Or...
yeah, if you find one that is defined in terms of PO, that not just whole plant, but go past the sensitivity ones, which are all this just...
Yes, ligule length.
Ligule length, yeah, exactly. So what was ligule a type of in PO?
It's a plant structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what. Possibly a vascular leaf. I'd have to look that up, but it's definitely a plant structure.
Yeah, well, let's just say it was some kind of like vascular leaf, then ligule length could automatically be classified under leaf morphology, for example.
Right. Mm. Yeah. And you want to explain what BATO is?
That's just the kind of the core ontology in which we're getting the kind of like biological attribute term. But it's also a larger kind of ontology that it's actually called OBA now, Ontology of Biological Attributes. It unifies trait ontologies across all forms of life. So in OBA, we also have the vertebrate traits. We've got a bunch of kind of like single-celled organism traits for diatoms and things like that, that the Encyclopedia of Life people are doing. And so we kind of like pool TO automatically into OBA as a kind of like a sub-module, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of like works because of these logical definitions for the TO terms.
Okay, great.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, any questions? I see Pankaj just joined us. That's great. I didn't hear anything from Barry, though. So this is kind of a complement to the TO, and in a way it's sort of decomposing the term names into the component parts so that the computer can, as you say, reason over them. And
exactly, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what I wanted to show today was the basic structure of this. And I thought maybe the way to do this was to give you a little overview of a presentation I did at PEG in January about some work that I've been doing with Maize GDB. So give me just one second here.
You were at PEG in January?
I was at PEG, yeah.
Yeah, I was there for a day.
Oh, only one day?
Well, because I had a Tree of Life meeting at the Biosphere.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think I saw you there.
I was there mainly for a workshop on the 1KP project, the 1,000 land plant transcriptomes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's why you didn't see me.
That explains it.
Or I was drunk in my room, I don't know. The Biosphere was weird.
Yeah.
I was there in the late 80s because we planted it for some of it for them.
Oh, really?
Huh. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. We had a meeting there last year.
Yeah. It's kind of...
In Tucson.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
In fact, I had the song on my phone, so I played it when I walked through there.
Did you get to go on a tour of it?
Yeah, but it was interesting for me because I hadn't been there for over 30 years just to see, you know, what had happened. But, you know, when the original people, none of them had any background in horticulture or had ever been on a farm. So that's partially why they starved to death, basically, or almost did.
Yeah, they would have. They would have been on Mars.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is taking a minute to get this up here. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's an interesting place for a scientific meeting.
Yeah, I think they've turned into some good. The guy who built it is on our board, and that's why
on the tree of life
we were involved in it originally.
Oh, you mean the garden board?
Yeah, on the the New York Botanical Garden board.
Hmm. Yeah, I was reading about I think I was there for the same meeting as Laurel, uh-huh. And I was reading about the history of it. It sounded quite interesting how they had like one group of bionauts or whatever they were called lived there for a while, and then that all kind of broke down. And then they brought in some other ones, and then the first group tried to break back in or something like that. It sounded completely nuts.
Frogs. Yeah. I think that this is a good one. Sorry for the delay here. I have this as a PDF, and I'm not sure exactly how.
Turn my microphone.
Maybe this will work. Let me see it. Now I just have to change my screen sharing.
Just a second.
Yeah, that's right. There was like sabotage going on. And
yeah.
It's really strange. It's an interesting place. Well, Arizona all around. A bit wacky.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is us coming from Oregon and California, and it still seems a bit wacky there. So, I'm sorry, I'm not that familiar with this Zoom yet. I have to figure out how to do this. Okay, I'm changing my screen. Sharing to this app. Oh, here we go. I'm trying to change my screen sharing here. It's not working. Oh, here we go. Stop share. There we go. That map looks better. Now you should be able to see the screen, right?
Yep, see it.
Okay. Dennis, are you back? We'll just continue. I don't want to waste your time. So this project is a collaboration with Maize GDB. You probably know Mary Schaefer, or you know of Mary Schaefer, to curate maize diversity using the reference ontology, specifically the TO.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a little, the first couple slides here are kind of an overview of the Plantiome project. We call it now. You see that in the logo. You know, talking about the different domains that we are going to be covering, the different ontologies that we'll be encompassing. And this is sort of our stock slide from the proposal showing kind of the information flow from community annotation and these different tools and the Amigo browser into our annotations and the flow back and forth. So, those people there weren't as familiar with it. And then, of course, there's the little slide explaining what the planontology is, which, of course, you're familiar with, so we don't need to talk about that. But, so the trait ontology, as you know, was originally designed to describe rice traits as part of the Gramming Project.
Mm-hmm.
So this slide is from the conference paper that Elizabeth and I put together in 2013 for the Semantic Web Conference in Montpellier, and just shows the 9 upper level categories of the TO and how we kind of interact with the other ontologies, of course, the plant disease ontologies just being proposed at this point or sort of there's a model one. So here's the 9 upper level classes. So the most of the work that I've done on the TO in terms of working on the definitions has been on the anatomy and morphology related trait. I've had some discussions with Barry about this. We've been trying to model the trait ontology sort of, at least in this branch, following the design of the plant ontology that we've worked out. So when you go into that branch on the browser, you can see kind of a similar structure, so traits for all the different anatomy parts that we describe in the plant ontology. And so I've been going through and putting in references, you know, revising the definitions and putting in references to the different plant ontology terms. One thing that we...
But the references will also be redundant with the logical definition.
Right, right. But in terms of our browser, it's nice because we can link to them.
Yeah, sure. And Amigo 2, you will actually properly be able to properly link to them, not as a cross-reference, but as an actual relationship.
Yeah, that would be great. So it sounds like Amigos 2 is going to have a lot more functionalities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interested in learning some more about that. So, I mean, I don't really need to show you this, but you're familiar with this, but some people aren't. You know, just how the trait pages look and, you know, how we kind of put them together. The way we were doing it was just referring to the PEDO term in the comment.
Yeah.
Referencing the PEDO term in the comment, which, of course, as we move forward, we'll be able to make these more specific references. Oops, sorry. So the data set that we've been working on is from the Panzea project. Here I have a slide here to show you. It's the Panzea, it's Thomas Bretnell's group. And they have a large amount of GWAS data and QTL data.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see the lines that we were working with. Mary had these germplasm bank inbreds. So a number of inbred lines and a number of diverse inbred lines from around the world, which have been characterized through this on the Panzea project. And these mapping populations, large number of mapping populations. So the goal was to annotate these with TO terms, and these are all going to be shown both through our website and at MazeGDB. And so the way it worked was Mary would come to me. We had a number of Google Docs set up, spreadsheets, where she would tell me which, you know, because the breeders have one name for the traits, and so then we would work out the definition of them and fit them into the TO, either if there was an existing one at the TO or we'd create a new one.
So is there already an OBO file for the maize traits vocabulary?
Well, it's integrated. It's not a separate one.
So I'm not sure what you mean. Maybe if you go back a slide. I was just looking for some kind of examples. So this is sort of highlighted.
Well, so like this on color.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But so we didn't create a file with separate maize traits. These are integrated.
You're saying they have a relational database already with a bunch of trait data in it?
Yeah. So at Panzea.
So what does that kind of look like? Do they use free text? Do they use their own vocabulary?
Most of it is just spreadsheets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's like all their lines with all their breeder information. And so Mary's been kind of working on that end with Panzea and pulling out what she wants, you know, what she wants to annotate from there. So I'll show you how it's going to look at MazeGDB in a year. So basically on my end, Mary and I were working together because she would have these terms from, and I have some examples on the next slide, actually, some terms from the breeders, and we would kind of look at the TO and figure out if we needed a new term or if we needed to fix definitions and fit them in. And so we've dealt with about 80 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is data coming in from 8 publications. And as she puts here, so they do have a relational database where this information is stored, and there was this data covered about 300,000 rows in their database. and they have a bunch more data that we're working on getting in.
Right. But ultimately, Mary will be annotating these 300,000 rows with Keoterms. That's
these have been done.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first 300,000 have been done. Or so these cover about
300,000 or 30,000?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, there was a lot of rows.
Yeah.
That I'm not sure if that's a typo or not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And obviously, as you've been doing this, you've been adding new terms into the TO.
We've been adding new terms and revising a lot of the. Mm-hmm. So we've revised or added about 80 trait terms, as she put wrangled. See, some of these slides she gave me and some are mine. Mm-hmm. This was one of her slides. Basically, we really had to rework them a lot,
yeah.
The ones mm-hmm. that were there. So on the Maize GDB side, they have these trait record pages, which indicate how mm-hmm. each trait was measured, and they have links out to the ontology terms.
And it also is crop ontology?
That's the crop ontology, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're mm-hmm. referencing, they're also referencing the Elizabeth Maize
yeah.
trait mm-hmm. ontology.
So you should probably try and just use official kind of OBO ID spaces, otherwise we might end up clashing. And
Well, you know, the idea is that I agree, Chris, and the problem is that these are out there and people are using them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those will be integrated and linked to ours. So I don't know. We'll have to deal with whether it's going to be redundant okay. or not down the road.
I would maybe recommend having the prefix be something -co or something like that, you know, like the name of the group or.
The name of the group.
Yeah. It's just, if you cross reference to CO, then the way things like Amigo work is it has to be in a kind of more central registry of prefixes. And, if we want to add CO to that central registry, I think it would be better to have a more disambiguated name than just CO. So it could be like, I don't know, what's the name of the group producing the CO?
The crop ontology.
Yeah, what is the name of the overarching group?
Well, the CGIAR, it's CGIAR.
Oh, so yeah, so if could we make the prefix something like CGIAR, CO or something?
Possibly, you know, I mean, that's something we'd have to discuss with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I understand where you're coming from, that CO is kind of mm-hmm. generic. I mean, TO and
PO. Yeah, you're kind of grandfathered in with the TO, but
yeah, yeah.
I'd rather that too.
And you know, the CO ontologies have I don't know if you remember when we were talking about this last week, Elizabeth was showing us, they're actually CO underscore and then a 3-digit number.
Right. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, which may or may not help. I don't know if that makes it more.
Yeah. No. That. Makes
yeah.
it trickier.
Anyway, that's something we can talk with them about as we move ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one of the issues that Mary dealt with was that in these different studies that we were dealing with, there's traits that are measured differently, but they're essentially the same trait. So mm-hmm. we group those using the ontology terms. So the traits were, even though, you know, if they're, for example, like plant height can be measured numerous different ways. So that's one of the,
yeah.
of course, this is like singing to the choir or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We understand the advantage of this, but using this, we wanted to make this point to the group at the PEG conference that using the ontology terms, we can group these things, these like things together. And of course,
so include you group them or you just
metadata. Use... What's that?
So are you saying you group them or you just use the TO term plant height directly?
Well, that is grouping them in a way because, so they get separate records in Mary's database, but they have the same ontology terms. So you could pull out all the ones that are related to plant height.
Okay.
And you would see all these different ones.
Is it important for them to record how it was actually measured? And is there a separate field for that?
Yes, there is. And there is, it is important. So those, the fact that they're measured differently is important, and that metadata and the details of that are recorded with the
data. Ultimately, will you need some kind of essay ontology for recording it? Kind of thing.
It's possible. Right. You know, we may want to use that. I think she's using the unit ontology.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that still doesn't tell you. Okay. So there's how it was recorded and how it was actually measured.
Right.
You know, I guess it could be using a tape measure versus, I don't know, estimation by looking at it and things like that.
Yeah.
So there are ontologies for different types, ways of measuring things.
Ways of measuring, yeah. And you know, this is something, if we want to get into all the real nitty gritties, it's probably good to get Mary to join us and look at some actual examples.
Yeah.
So just a couple of examples were, you know, in maize, it's important that we remember that the kernel is actually a fruit. So the ear is an infructescence. So we had created a PO term for the ear infructescence to describe the, you know, what people call like an ear of corn. And so these traits are linked to the ear infructescence term. And this is just some examples, like in, you know, where we were talking about this sort of grouping in a way. Fruit number, there's a lot of different ways that you can look at group fruit number. Ear weight, this is, kernel weight actually shouldn't be under ear weight here. This is separate. This is a fruit weight. And fruit yield, so there's different aspects. So, and then I'll just show you what...
There's some, like, loss there, isn't there? There's some kernel number per ear versus per row.
In my mic. So
Hang on a second. Pankaj has just joined us. Do you want to pull up a chair and sit down?
Yeah.
Let me just switch to audio so Pankaj can hear, too. One second here. So, I think I might have to just fix the video. This because then the computer gets confused.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hang on one second. Still kind of getting used to this. How do I get back to the setting? Oh yeah, settings, here we go. Audio. Chris, can you hear us now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello, hello.
Hi, I can hear you.
Okay. It's okay. I can fix it.
Can you not hear me?
It's on my... Sometimes you have to change it on the computer when you switch back and forth. Just give us 1 second, Chris. We'll be right back.
Okay.
He can't hear you.
The microphone's working.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to Barry this way? Come on, computer. The spinning dial. Here we go. Hello, Chris, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
There's only one output setting.
I can hear it.
Let me try that. That's weird. Sometimes with these things. Let me just type in this chat. Where did it go now? We're getting kind of. I don't know why it's not working. Well,
so that at least you can hear.
So you said your audio in your office?
My mic was not working. My mic was not working.
But you could hear.
Yeah.
No, it may not work though. Hello?
Hi. Chris? Can you hear me now?
We had to go back to the headphones because I don't know why it's not working.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So let me just try one thing here. Can you say something, Chris?
Hi, can you hear me now? Hello, hello? Huh.
Oh, it won't worry about that.
So I had one question with you when you were presenting. I had one question because when you can keep it there. But because when you're presenting and trying to say, let's say we have fruit number as a bin, and then there are three or four different traits in MazeDB based on the assay type, probably. So do you, it means right now they're all mapped to one single TO, right? What I was expecting, let's say, sometimes you have a very different QTL or a QTL that is being used, trait being used for defining a QTL per year, maybe very different than a per row or a kernel number row. So what I was thinking is that for that perspective, should we be creating individual trait IDs or TO IDs for each of these, and fruit number is the overarching parent?
They are. Yeah. These are actual terms.
These are actual terms.
Yeah, right? I can show you.
No, that is fine. I just wanted to confirm that whether it was.
What we were trying to show here was how you can kind of gather them at MazeDB when you wanted to have a more general parent term.
Right.
I mean, maybe just showing the hierarchy is the simplest way to communicate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this slide was a bit. Yeah. So.
It's an older version of the quality that is showing.
Let me go here and do it here. I'm just showing Pankaj on the. And I'm not sure if she picked ones that were actually in there yet, because some of these are Mary's slides. But so, yeah. We did create actual TO terms for these, like kernel number per year. And your point is exactly valid. Well, what we were trying to show here was that you could, at MazeDB, they wanted a way where they can say, show us all the ones that have to do with fruit number sort of thing, and how they kind of, because,
okay, got it.
You know, I mean, we understand it because we work on ontologies. But yeah, all of these are our individual terms that we created for them.
Okay, so.
So let me show you the interface. It might make more sense. So we can actually go and look at these. They have a beta site where this data is already being displayed. And this is just a screenshot of it. But eventually, this will, when MazeDB does their next release, this will go up on their live site. I haven't talked to Mary since PEG, so I'm not sure what the status is, if they've put this up on the live site yet or not. But the trait pages. So what you can do is you can go in and search for ontology terms, synonyms, trait symbols. All of their traits have trait symbols, and we have references to those. So, and you can search by the PO term as well, too. So, what's this? And you can search by phenotype.
Data types, basically.
Yeah, this is their phenotype data center. So, and then this shows the phenotype search function that's going to be up there. So they haven't put in this functionality where we can search by ontology terms yet, but that's coming.
So Chris, you had a question about the MazeDB database, saying what kind of schema and how do they store it. I think it's in MySQL database, but
no, we were talking about the Panzea database.
Panzea, I know Panzea because I was involved in its database schema development. There is no ontological format or parent-child relationships in that database. It's a controlled vocabulary with a free text definition of that. They call it as canonical or casual trait or community trait from that perspective. So whatever is that community is using it, And they do have assays in it, separate, a full detail of the assay in a separate for a trait in the trait table. So if you search for GDPDM schema, you should be able to find that information. I was trying to look for that schema as well. But if I have it from my archives, I'll show it to you.
Okay.
I can show you that. We can take a look at that on a live.
But
so they're going to be
probably just using the trait ontology as a cross ref. But
they're not using the trait ontology at all.
I can ask.
But that's what Mary's doing.
But if we have everything ready, then we can ask Ed Buckler, throws the Panzea data, mm-hmm. to incorporate the cross references in his database. That's not a problem.
Yeah, and that's why we're building them. But all that data, I don't think they want to host it. I mean, I can't speak for them, but my understanding from Mary is that they want to have it at MazeGDB.
Yeah, so all
They're feeding it to MazeGDB.
All the Panzea data is, at some point, I think, is going to be archived and be run from the MazeGDB.
Right, that's the goal.
Panzea site will disappear.
Yeah.
So it'll also be aggregated at Plantium as well, so you can do more advanced searches there, yeah?
Yeah.
That's the idea.
That's a possibility. He was asking if we would have it at the Plantium.
The Panzea data?
Yeah.
I don't think we need to have, because that's a lot of genotyping data associated with that. But if we can, if we want, we can have the germplasm or that particular accession of the line and its trait associated with it. And the Panzea also does QTL analysis or linkage disequilibrium analysis, mm-hmm. associated for that population. So it's a population level data. It's not an individual germplasm data. So we can certainly build associations saying so and such population has been evaluated for a this particular trait, and then we connect back to the Panzea or MazeDB. But I would be reluctant to host all the genotype by phenotype data on the Plantium site.
So I was just going to switch.
Associations is fine.
Switch our screen sharing over to the view of the MazeGDB site. So this is an example page. This isn't their beta site yet, but this is one of their phenotype pages, trait pages at MazeGDB right now.
I'm not seeing anything yet.
Oh, no, it's not.
I think that's the one you just...
Screen sharing is... share a new window.
So I'm going to have to go in like 2 minutes. So.
Yeah, that's fine. I understand that. So that's about the gist of it for today. The other slides are things that we're already familiar with. So I just kind of wanted to introduce this project and kind of the work that we've done there. So this, I don't know if you can see this page. My internet is kind of slow. I don't know why it's hanging here. So thank you for coming this morning. Our little mini meeting that we had.
So, and you're going to put, or have you already put the, just let me know when Tio has moved to GitHub and I'll put the equivalence axioms there.
Yeah, that'd be great. And Chris, you know, we need to kind of think about what we're doing with that other TO repository that's there.
The other TO repository?
Yeah, that you guys created, this one that says Plant Trait Ontology from April of last year. Because I think it's going to be a bit confusing having...
Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you made that. Yeah.
I think Pankaj, I thought you and Pankaj made it.
Oh, right, yeah. So why don't we just... The idea is you just use that.
Well, it's out of sync, though.
Okay, yeah, we'll just... Do you care about migrating the history across, or... We could do that, but that's...
Talked with Justin about that, he said that was actually kind of complicated to do.
Okay, well, in that case, we can just do a one-off copy then, and you won't get the full history, but...
You mean the history in terms of revisions and things?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Okay. We can always go back to the SVN if we need to look at stuff from...
Okay, wait. So I see what I did there. The idea here was that you would immediately switch adding this and out, and that might be moving too fast. Okay, you can just...
A lot of work has been done on the TO since this was created, and so I'm just... And
yeah, okay. This is maybe a bit confusing. Don't worry. Don't worry about this. I'll either tidy this up or make you a new one.
Yeah, I mean, well, Justin and I are going to set it up.
I wondered
what was going on with this.
Sure, but I would like it to be set up using a kind of fairly standard substructure.
Yeah, and if you have suggestions on the best way to do that, I'm certainly happy
So this was created using a script I have that is described here. Hold on, let me put it in the chat window. And this, so
okay,
it kind of creates a lot of additional files that you probably don't need now, but and it's geared towards OWL, but you can easily modify this to be more kind of OBO-centric.
Okay, so we'll take a look at that. That's helpful. Yeah, and I mean, Chris, you had sent me a question a week or so ago, and I hadn't responded to it, but we've been thinking about it, is how the best way to set this all up is. And I've been trying to understand kind of how we would use it, because that sort of helps you decide how best to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we want to have, you know, one overarching category so that you can do everything, or have separate files for each of the ontologies, or have all the reference ontologies in one and all the application ontologies in the other. I'm not absolutely sure what the best way to do. And then Justin just did this transfer of, you know, the one that's labeled ontology files.
Yeah.
He just kind of did that to try it out.
Okay.
But well, it's not really a workable hierarchy that's in there.
We can have a separate call sometime in the afternoon between you and Justin, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I know you got to go.
Okay. So, all right. Thanks a lot then.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Catch you later. Bye.